Moonwalk by Ben Bova. Illustrated by Peter Bollinger. Genre: science fiction is a story based on science. It often tells about life in the future. As you read this story about a walk on the moon, look for the scientific information on which it is based. Question of the week: what are the risks when walking on the moon?
"Bet you can't jump over that rill, runt," Vern challenged. Jerry Kendall hated it when his older brother called him runt. "Watch me, runt," Vern taunted. "I'll show you how to do it." Inside his hard-shell moon suit, with its big backpack and astronaut-type helmet, Jerry watched as Vern got a running start, kicking up lazy puffs of dust with each step. He sailed over the crooked crack in the ground, floating like a cloud until he touched down on the other side. The boys were out on the floor of the giant crater Alphonsus. Their father had brought them along with him to the half-buried shelter 15 miles from the main base. Dad had left them at the shelter and gone off with the tractor to inspect the new telescope that was being built still farther out on the crater floor. Dad had told them to stay inside the shelter until he came back. But Vern wanted to go outside for a moonwalk. Now he was jumping over gullies in the bare, dark ground. "Come on, runt," Vern called from the other side of the rill. "Let's see you do it." Jerry glanced at the thermometer on the wrist of his moon suit. It was 214 degrees below zero, yet he was sweating inside his suit. "What's the matter? You scared?" Even though it was nighttime, it wasn't really dark. A big blue and white earth hung in the starry sky, shining beautifully. Jerry could see the rough, uneven ground, the rocks and boulders scattered everywhere on the moon's surface. And the rill, a wide, meandering crack in the ground. "Well?" Vern demanded. In the moon's light gravity, Jerry weighed only about 30 pounds, even with his bulky moon suit. "Okay," he said into his microphone. "Here I come." He took four running steps, then soared over the rill. It felt like flying. He stumbled when he landed, though. Vern grabbed him and kept him from falling. "Not bad for a runt, runt," Vern said, laughing. "Now let's find a really big one." "We shouldn't be doing this," Jerry said. "Dad told us to stay inside the shelter. If he finds out..." "Who's going to tell him?" Vern demanded.
Nobody, I guess."
"That's right. We'll be back in the shelter by the time Dad gets back. And you'll keep your mouth shut, right?"
"Right," Jerry said reluctantly. He followed Vern along the rill they had just crossed, their boots kicking up dust that settled slowly in the low gravity. They trudged along for nearly an hour, leaving boot prints in the dust. Off on the other side of the crater, sunlight was bathing the top of the Ringwall Mountains with harsh, brilliant light. It would soon be daytime.
"Hey, there's one," Vern called out, pointing with a gloved hand at a broad gully up ahead. It was much wider than the one they'd jumped across. It looked deep, too, like a trench.
"Bet you can't jump over that one, runt."
Jerry peered at the rill. "It's pretty wide," he said.
"Scared?"
Jerry was, but he didn't want to admit it.
He shook his head inside his helmet, then realized that Vern couldn't see it.
"Well, want me to go first?"
Summoning up his courage, Jerry said,
"Nah, I'll try it."
Jerry backed up several paces, then started running. In the light gravity, every step was a leap. The edge of the rill loomed up like the rim of the Grand Canyon. Jerry jumped as hard as he could. He soared, sailing up and over the yawning trench, and landed almost perfectly. He hardly staggered. Turning to look back across the rill at Vern, he called,
"Nothing to it. Piece of cake."
"Okay," Vern answered.
"Here I come."
Vern started running, each stride a long hop across the uneven ground. With his last step, though, he stumbled on a small rock. When he took off for the jump across, Jerry saw that he wasn't going to make it.
"Watch out!"
he yelled uselessly. Vern soared, arms and legs flailing, and landed hard, just short of the rill's rim. Jerry heard him go, "Oof!" as he hit the side of the rift and tumbled down out of sight. Jerry rushed to the edge of the gully and saw his brother halfway down the rill, lying motionless. "Vern, you okay?" No answer. "He's hurt," Jerry thought. "Maybe he's dead." Jerry scrambled down into the gully. Vern was lying on his back, one leg bent under him, arms sprawled. "Vern," he called again as he slid and scraped down the side of the rill. Vern moved one hand, then waved feebly. "He's alive," Jerry thought. "He's conscious." He dropped to his knees at his brother's side.
"Are you okay? Can you get up?"
Vern didn't answer. He tapped one hand against his helmet. "His radio's out," Jerry understood. With no air on the moon to carry sound, the only way to talk was through the suit radios. Unless they could touch helmets. He leaned over and pressed his helmet against Vern's.
"Can you hear me now?"
"No electricity in my suit. No air fans, no radio, nothing." "You must have banged up your backpack," Jerry said. "Knocked the battery loose or something."
"I won't have any air to breathe."
Vern sounded scared. Without electricity, the moon suit's air circulation pumps couldn't work. Neither could the radio or any of the suit's other equipment. Jerry tried to keep calm. "There's enough air inside the suit for a couple of hours, I think."
"Yeah," Vern said, his voice shaky.
"Maybe." "Come on, get up." Vern started to push himself to his feet.
"Ow!"
he cried, sinking back to the dusty ground again.
"What's the matter?"
"My knee. It must be broken." Jerry shook his head inside his helmet. "Maybe sprained or dislocated. I don't think you could break it in the suit."
"I can't stand on it."
"Okay, okay. Lean on me. I'll help you." Grunting, staggering, the two boys scrabbled their way across the bottom of the rill and back to the surface. Vern leaning on Jerry's shoulder. Even on the moon, he felt heavy.
"Oh my gosh," Vern said, "the sun."
Jerry saw that daylight had crept across the floor of the crater and was almost upon them. He knew that, without electricity, Vern's cooling system and heat radiator wouldn't work. Once they were in sunlight, the temperature would soar to 250 degrees.
"I'm gonna boil inside my suit," Vern shouted.
Keeping his helmet pressed against his brother's, Jerry said,
"Come on, let's get back to the shelter."
I can't walk."
"I'll help you."
"You can't."
"Come on," Jerry said stubbornly. "Let's get started."
Jerry remembered that the moon turned very slowly on its axis, once in about 28 days, not like the Earth's once every 24 hours. That meant that sunrise was pretty slow on the moon, about the pace of a person strolling briskly. Maybe they could make it.
"Maybe," Jerry thought, "if we can get back before the sunrise catches us."
They started toward the shelter, Vern leaning on Jerry's shoulder. Behind, blazing sunlight crept toward them across the crater floor.
"As long as we stay in the night, we'll be okay," Jerry told himself. "If we can get back to the shelter before Vern's air runs out."
They trudged along for what seemed like hours. The sky was spangled with thousands of stars. They seemed like hard, solemn eyes watching the two boys.
"We can make it," Jerry kept muttering. "We can make it."
But with every step, Vern seemed to get heavier. The line of daylight was catching up with them. Jerry could almost feel the sun's blazing heat roasting him. Vern coughed.
"Hard to breathe," he gasped.
"We're almost there." Jerry could see the rounded hump of dirt that covered the shelter.
"Can't."
Vern collapsed. Jerry staggered under the full weight of his brother's unconscious body. Blinking sweat from his eyes, trying hard not to cry, grunting, puffing hard, Jerry dragged Vern to the shelter. The tractor was nowhere in sight. "Dad's not back yet," he realized, not knowing if he should be glad or sorry. As he pulled his brother into the airlock, he saw the tractor coming slowly over the horizon, kicking up a lazy rooster tail of dust. Vern came to, coughing and sputtering, once Jerry got him inside the shelter and took his helmet off.
"We made it," he said. "You saved me, Runt."
"Dad's on his way back," said Jerry.
Vern didn't care. "You saved my life. You really did."
"It's okay."
"Gee, Runt, I owe you. What can I do to repay you for saving my life?"
Jerry didn't hesitate for a microsecond. "Don't ever call me Runt again!"